you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And then also Luke chapter 1, verse 37. For nothing is impossible with God. Now you may say, well, Mark, that sounds so familiar. Did you use those two verses yesterday? Yes, but we never got to come back to them. I was so excited with our special guest. So Dr. Terry Teckel is back with me today for the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. Yesterday, if you missed the broadcast, I would ask you, please go to the Mark and Friends tab under greatnewsradio.org. or WLUJ.org, because I think God has raised up Dr. Terry for such a time as this. He's written many, many books on prayer. He's taught many different seminars. He's been a speaker throughout the country on the topic of prayer and other topics, and I hope someday to bring him to this area. But it was a divine appointment yesterday as I had him on. It was a result of meeting up with Bishop Jonathan Franklin, who now serves on our radio board. He and I were at a prayer gathering on the steps of our state capitol in Springfield, Illinois, a few weeks ago. He talked about this book that Dr. Terry had written about the Lord's Prayer and saying the Lord's Prayer at noon. I caught the vision and thought, I got to find out all about this individual and his book, and I got to help launch or see how God might use us all saying and praying the Lord's Prayer at noon as a new initiative, as a movement of God. Well, yesterday, if you were tuned in, Dr. Terry cited how different locations in Texas and other cities and communities, they were using the Lord's Prayer and stopping everything they were doing, whether it was the Catholic Church or the Protestant Church or everything in between, how people even at work were stopping at noon when the whistle blew to say the Lord's Prayer. And then he was also telling me about there was a situation where an individual who owns car washes bought many copies of this book and passed them on. So anyways, Dr. Terry, thank you for joining me again for the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And I want to continue our discussion about the Lord's Prayer. And maybe you can tell some more stories, but I would love for you to take us through word by word the power behind what Jesus taught his disciples to pray, this template, if you will, this example as a starter for us all to recognize this great God that we serve.
Well, thank you. Let me start by saying that our image of God determines how we approach him. There's a little audacious boy in his room drawing. He ran in the kitchen and said, Mama, I just drew a picture of God. And she said, honey, no one knows what God looks like. And he said, they will now.
That's classic.
And so your picture of him determines on how you're going to approach him. So Jesus said, approach him like this. Father, what more enduring, caring, approachable idea is that God is a father. He's a sovereign parent, you might say. And that we can approach him not to be afraid or not to feel like he's going to condemn us, but just to say, Father, I need you today. And just to let his embrace, you know. I love that story where the prodigal son came home. And it says the father saw him from a long distance and ran to him. And just imagine that God, the father was looking for his son, and the father is looking for us, and how it pleases him for us to come. And sometimes, Mark, really what God wants is just our attention. He didn't want anything profound from us. He just wants us to love him and him to love us. And so, but the neat thing about this, I've written so many books on prayer. This is an issue for many people. Where do I start? It's such a big idea of talking to God. And so they don't even start because they get overwhelmed with, do I use the right words? How long should I pray? Should I stand? Should I kneel? And so they don't. But this is a simple prayer. Just 21 seconds to pray our Father. where it's a starter. I would say prime the pump. Mm-hmm. Because, as you know, it's not only a model prayer, but it's also a prayer that we can model our prayers after. It's what we would call an index prayer, so that we would say, Our Father, and then talk about, Lord, thank you for caring for me, and just go off on that. And so then we come to who lives in heaven, to know that, to mention, that's our home. This is not our home, but he lives in heaven, and that's where Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. So every day at noon, I remind myself, heaven is where I'm headed. Heaven is my home. This is not my home, because he lives in heaven. And by the way, this is really neat. In Luke 4, it says, as Jesus was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him, and the Father said, this is my beloved Son, of whom I am pleased. But you know what, Mark? The verse never says, heaven shut. It opened, but it never shut. So you know what that means? You and I and all your listeners live under an open heaven where we can pray and heaven can touch earth, whether it be to heal sickness or lift depression or just to guide someone in a proper business decision or help a couple raise their children. We live under an open heaven, and that really is thrilling to me. But then it says, hallowed be his name. Of course, the word hallow is associated with the word worship, adoration, endearment. And having just recently written a book on the history of praying in Jesus' name, I realized how important that we revere that name, that we keep the spotlight on it, that we keep it to the front of the line. Because sometimes we have so many names, his name gets kind of covered over or diluted, you might say, or we get distracted. But Jesus is his name, and he told us to pray in his name. And so to hallow his name to me is to make Jesus special. I had a girl join my church, and every time I said Jesus, ministering the vows to her, she cried. So after church, Mark, I asked her, I said, Amy, why do you cry whenever I say Jesus? And she started crying. She says, I was a woman of the streets in Dallas, Texas. One night in a sleazy hotel, I told Satan I'd give him my soul if he gave me a vein so I could shoot up. I got the vein, and I shot up, but I lost my soul. But 2 weeks later, I was laying in a boxcar, a dirty old dark boxcar in the railroad place of rail cars. And she said, I said, Jesus. And he actually came to me. I sensed his presence. He saved me, took all my desire for drugs away. And I am alive today because of Jesus. And then this is what she said, Mark. Listen to this. How can I not cry when I hear his name? Boy, that really... Because us old-time Christians, we sometimes say his name but don't realize the importance of it or the power of it or the import of it. Not that we should cry every time, but at least we should pause and say, wow, Jesus, he saved my soul. He died for me. Let that never become old, but always new. And if I perceive anything new, it's that I want to perceive how great and wonderful his name is. Because this is the marvelous thing. When we say Jesus, God becomes now. Now, he is yesterday, and he is tomorrow, but he becomes now, which is interesting because in Mark's gospel, he mentions the word immediately 41 times. There is a dimension of prayer where God is now. And we have to leave that door open, not to think that when we pray, we're put on a waiting list. And God doesn't have a waiting list. But we can actually experience him now when we pray in that name. Earlier, when Jesus announced his mission, he said, today this has been fulfilled in your ears. Not someday, but today.
Yeah.
This is being fulfilled in your ears. And so I want people to understand that God is now. And you can believe that.
You know, when you said that, the first thing I thought, and I don't know if it's a line in a hymn or a scripture, but he's the ever-present help in our time of trouble. You know, that
ever-present help.
Right, the now.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
When I was young, I was going to college, and I had to register for Tuesdays and Thursday classes for 17 hours because I commuted. And the girl says, you can't do that. We won't allow that. I said, well, how can I get it allowed? She said, well, you have to have somebody important to sign off on this. So I went outside of the gym. That was back in the old days. And I stood on the sidewalk, and I looked up. And I said, Jesus, what am I going to do? Suddenly, a man walked up to me with a suit on. He said, young man, do you like our school? I said, yes, sir, but I'm trying to get out. He said, what's the problem? He said, I need 17 hours on T-days so I can graduate. He said, give me that piece of paper. And I said, who are you? He said, I'm Dr. Bowers. I'm the president of the university. You should have seen the look on that girl's face. When I walked in 10 minutes later and I had the president of the university signature.
Yeah.
God is now. Mm. The timing of me standing there and him walking up to me, God is now.
Yeah.
And I wasn't on a waiting list. So the name to be hallowed. And if it is, then his kingdom comes. And the kingdom means his government, his reign and rule. Now, this is the crux of the matter, Mark. If his kingdom comes, mine has to go. I can't be in charge anymore. I can't call the shots.
Yeah.
He is my Lord, and I'm in his kingdom, which is a much better place to be than if I'm calling the shots.
Right.
So this is the crux. You have to give up your kingdom so that his kingdom can come. His governance, his control, his calling the shots, his sovereignty, his purpose to be made manifest. And then he says this, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now think about this for a minute, Mark. There are no back braces in heaven. There are no drug stores. There are no lawyers. Oh, now I should say.
No court cases.
No suits are being filed.
Yeah.
Lawyers can get to heaven, so don't be offended if you're a lawyer and you're listening to this. But no cancer, no chemotherapy. So if we pray as it is in heaven here, then we can walk in divine health. We can think with the mind of Christ because the heavenly dimension is a perfect dimension. And he says, I want my will to be done here, right here. Like this man here in Houston who owns 4 car washes, and he ordered 1,000 of the little booklets, the devotion, to hand out to his customers. And he does that probably once a month. He orders 1,000, hands them out. Because he wants the kingdom to become real in a car wash business. People, you know, get their car washed and they're waiting for it to be dried and see it come through the tunnel. But while they're standing there, he's got a prayer wall where people stick in prayer requests into bricks on the wall. But what's marvelous is that prayer is coming to car washes.
Yeah.
It's coming to where people live. It's not confined to the church. Wherever you work, wherever you live, whether it be a meatpacking plant in Dumas, Texas, or he wants to come there. Two marvelous things. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I mean, these are magnanimous realizations. And then he comes and says this, give us this day our daily bread. Now, the word he used there is nowhere in classical Greek. In fact, his interpreters think he made it up. But later, they found that word on some domestic manuscripts in a garbage heap. You know what the word meant? Grocery list. He just talked about the kingdom and his will being done. And then he says, oh, yeah, and you can ask for your grocery list to be done. You can ask for coffee pods and toilet paper and toothpaste and whatever else, the bare necessities of life. Because sometimes we're timid when it comes to asking God for provision.
Yeah.
Because we think, I don't deserve provision. And God says, you know, come to me. You know what I imagined this, Mark?
Yeah.
That Mary made a grocery list and put it on the kitchen table and said, Jesus, when you go to the store, get that for me. Mm-hmm. He remembered that. And so he used that in this magnanimous prayer, give us this day our grocery list, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. which could be save this city, heal this person, or, Lord, I need a bicycle. It could be all number of things, but this is amazing. He cares so much that he will help us, whether we're registering for college or we're trying to pay something off. Mm-hmm. But then the full range of this prayer really comes to this point. And then he says, forgive us our, could be trespasses or debts or sins. Mm-hmm. The original Greek says debts, as we forgive our debtors. But because I have been at this for a long time, as you have yourself. Mm-hmm. And when people don't realize they're forgiven, they repeat their sin because they're locked in it. Because with forgiveness comes cleansing. That not only does he forgive us, but he cleanses us of unrighteousness. So he gets us off the treadmill of shame, guilt, which locks us in to repeat the sin or whatever it is. We're set free from that. So forgiveness is a marvelous, wonderful gift to know that our slate has been washed, wiped clean.
Yeah.
Contingent on, who do I need to forgive? And there are people that we need to forgive. I need to forgive that Russian leader who's killing all those innocent people. Mm. I just want him to be saved, Vladimir Putin, mm-hmm. or whatever, whoever, my neighbor, because mm-hmm. his dog barks all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, ducks have a little preen gland on their tail that secretes an oil. And that oil keeps the duck from sinking.
Mm.
And if that gland didn't work, the duck would sink. Forgiveness of others is the preen gland that keeps us from parking on hurts, abuses, and things that are spoken against us. It's kind of like, because I forgive that, it doesn't stick with me. Like water beads off.
Hmm.
What a way to live, that I don't live being offended.
Yeah.
We have two personalities. We have a Velcro personality or Teflon personality.
Hmm.
Velcro is I pick up hurts driving the traffic. I just pick up, but we should be like Teflon.
Hmm.
It just rolls off of us because we forgive. And that's an active thing that we do daily, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then he says, lead us not into temptation. That's a puzzling scripture because people would think, now God would lead me into temptation.
Yeah.
Actually, as one translated it, Lord, lead me in such a way that there's nothing in my heart that you have to test it out so that my heart is pure before you. And then I like the Message translation where Peterson says, keep me from myself. I like that because sometimes I'm my biggest problem. Keep me from myself. And juxtaposed to that, he says, and deliver us from evil. Because sometimes we give the devil a foothold. We give him a handle in our life because we're gluttonous or we're greedy or some problem. But we shouldn't be able to give him any foothold. So we say, deliver us from evil. And what I like to pray to is the literal translation of that is, deliver us from the evil one. Because I think, Mark, you and I know, in some ways, America is on a pagan pathway.
Mm-hmm.
We have adopted a lifestyle without God.
Yeah.
That people go days, months, and never even think about God.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see how evil is seeping into our government, our schools, our mass shootings, and things like that. And so just think, everybody in town, what's the town you live in?
In the greater Champaign-Urbana area. It's called White Heath, but nobody knows where White Heath is. It's a little town of a few out in the country.
Okay. Well, suppose everyone in that area were to pray, deliver us from evil.
Hmm.
You know what? I think there's a Baptist church in Austin, Texas, went to the sheriff and said, what's the most wicked part of Austin? Because we're going to prayer walk it.
Hmm.
We're going to circle it in prayer. Mark, Do you know that the crime rate in that area dropped 70%?
Huh.
We can pray against evil, and evil will diminish. It will wither. We had in our church a prayer room, and we put the names of 13 gangs in our city. We had a gang member get saved, so he gave us their names. And there were 13 gangs in our city. And so we started praying for them by name.
Mm.
And plus, we have the most drive-by shootings of any city of our size in Texas.
Mm.
Within 6 months, the gangs had disbanded. The drive-by shootings went away. He didn't even have one, because God will deliver us of evil. Mm-hmm. He's in charge. And when we pray, Satan's afraid, because that's the one thing that defeats him, is that we're on our knees. And, of course, then we glorify him. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. I just love that, because people all together say, we worship you.
Yeah.
Because yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Forever and ever. So we end with a magnanimous declaration.
Hmm.
A declaration of who he is and his sovereignty over this world, which is just a marvelous way of concluding that prayer.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know if this would work, but one of the girls called in one day at the station with this testimony, and I'm going to try to play it, and I don't know if it'll work, but I want you to hear this testimony of this young girl.
I just wanted to tell you something. I'm going to try to say this without crying. It was the first time I had heard that on the radio, and I was on my way home from work, and I was like, oh, you know, that's really neat. And I remembered immediately what my dad used to tell me when I was a kid, that in the Bible it says where two or more are united in prayer, that God is in the middle of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I put my cell phone alarm on so that I would remember to pray. So I put it for 1 minute before 12, and I was praying, and I was praying for my family, for my dad. And I didn't know that as I was praying, three men with guns robbed my dad at gunpoint and took everything from him and took his truck. And the guy that had the gun in the back of his head asked him, the guy, what do I do with him? And the guy told him, waste him. And my dad said that at that moment, he heard this loud voice that said, run. If you stay there, they will shoot you. And this was going on at 12 while I was praying for my family and asking God to take care of them. Because of me praying during the pray down, that was why my dad was not killed. Mm. And I just wanted to let you guys know that. And my dad called me yesterday to tell me that they caught the three guys and they were driving my dad's truck. So they haven't been arrested.
Wow. Ugh.
Man.
I'm glad you were praying, Angie.
I am too. I couldn't believe it when my dad called me. He waited for me to get out of school because he didn't want me to get scared.
Mm.
And he told me that and I asked him, the first thing I asked him, I was like, what time did this happen? And he said it was noon.
Oh, wow. Angie, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You're a blessing to us.
Yeah. It's good to pray.
Anyway, that was a call that came into the station. I just...
Wow. Well, it just motivates me even more to want to encourage our listeners to sign up, to get on board, to think about it every day at noon, to be saying and praying the Lord's Prayer. And Dr. Terry, I'm just so grateful for your being sensitive to God's leading some years ago and how it's really becoming not only something throughout our nation, but throughout the world, that others see the importance of praying to God and using this template, this example, these words that Jesus taught his disciples and is even teaching us today. And so listening, friend, at noon, join me and many others throughout the country that are praying, that are saying the Lord's Prayer at noon. And we'll talk more about the upcoming prayer initiative and gatherings that we'll have. And hopefully I'll have have the website, Pray the Lord's Prayer at Noon, also Say the Lord's Prayer at Noon, up and running soon so that you can kind of sign on, and maybe we can record you saying the Lord's Prayer at Noon, and that's what we're going to start having in the coming days, right at noon, a reminder to all of our listeners, all of you, to be praying the Lord's Prayer. Well, thank you, Dr. Terry, for being available for the Monday and Tuesday's edition of Mark and Friends.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, listening friend. Well, if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org, and also join us praying and saying the Lord's Prayer at noon each and every day. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Dr. Terry with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.